Hello there. It's me, Andy, from the Inner Winner Show. And it's the day 56, I think. Not sure, but I think it is.
No, it's actually day 58.
I was close enough, okay?
That's close enough, sure.
There's like a studio microphone standing right next to me. Like I can hold out my hand and touch a studio microphone, but I can't use it because I don't have a one single cable. It's missing.
Why can't you just buy the cable, you lazy bastard?
You said it, because I'm a lazy bastard.
You are not lazy. Like, we're going to talk about it in the podcast, but you're the opposite of lazy.
Sometimes I am. Sometimes I am. If it was like going out and talking to a girl, okay, I'm not lazy. But if it's buying a cable for my microphone to have the best audio quality from all of your podcasts, then I'm lazy.
Why? Why? Do you want me to buy it for you? Should I buy you this cable? Tell me what the cable is and I'll buy it for you.
You know, the thing is, I used to do a lot of music stuff, like playing instruments. There's three guitars. Wait. Three guitars hanging right next to me on the wall, like electric guitars, a lot of cables, a microphone and stuff, audio interface. But since I started the university like 4 years ago, I just didn't have time for this. And I didn't even have studio stuff with me at the dorms. And now that I have moved to my own place, I finally have place for all that stuff. And I started moving the stuff in. But there's still things missing.
I have questions for you. I have like a million questions for you. I guess my first question... Okay, because I told my girlfriend that you were coming on. And she was like super excited. Because she's like followed your whole story as well. And she said, the first thing that I have to ask you as soon as you come on is, why the hell did you trust Andy when he told you, like, to go have sex with a prostitute?
Oh, if you ask about this, mostly because I wanted to do it anyway. I was at the point in my life when I was sad, depressed, and a virgin, and I needed to take the action. I was, 2 months on the good-looking losers at that point, and I had some idea what should I do, and it just seemed obvious to me that I should lose my virginity to focus on getting laid. Because, you know, it's like you can't talk to a starving person about how food isn't all that good, right?
Yeah.
You need to feed him and then you can teach him how to get food or how to enjoy food or how he can survive without food. But if he's starving, all he thinks about is food. Same with girls.
Yeah.
If you never had any experiences with girls, then you can't really think sober about it.
Yeah, that was my thinking when I said it. So if anyone doesn't know, you were on the Good Looking Loser forums and you said you'd been trying for 5 months to have sex and lose your virginity. I basically said to you, go have sex with a prostitute and then you won't be a virgin. You won't have this virginity thing in your way. And then come back here and say, I am the guy who got laid. And that was on the 17th of June in 2018. And then on the 24th of June, so only 7 days later, you came and posted, I am the man who got laid. Now I have to become the man who gets laid on my way to becoming the man who gets laid a lot. You absolutely earned my respect when you did that. As soon as you did that, I was like, holy shit, like, who is this guy? Because I've said that to like 30 other people. I've said, if you're sick of being a virgin, just go pay a prostitute or, you know, do something right now to lose your virginity. And you were the first and I think probably the only one who's actually gone, yeah, okay, I've done it. What should I do next? I give you full respect for that.
Thanks, but I need to say that I don't think I deserve the prize because I was going to do it anyway. Like, maybe I needed some approval, like someone saying this is the right thing to do, but I wanted to do it.
So what you're saying is I get no credit whatsoever.
Blunt honest. That's me.
But I really liked that you did that because I think too many guys get caught up in this virginity thing. You've seen it. You've seen it on my forums and on the Good Looking Loser forums. There'll be a guy or a bunch of guys that are virgins and they kind of get stuck in that and they'll be a virgin for like a year or two because they keep saying, I'm a virgin, I'm a virgin, I'm a virgin, I'm a virgin. And they define themselves as a virgin instead of what you kind of had, which was, I'm a guy who deserves to get laid.
You know, when I finally got laid, when I lost my virginity, the next few weeks, I was like, damn, it's kind of sad. I can't say I'm a virgin anymore. It's like I lost the excuse to be miserable.
Yeah.
I lost the reason to be sad about my life and depressed, but the feelings were still there, kind of. The feelings stay, even though they are not rational. And it shows, like, you shouldn't be really depressed with being a virgin if you are rational, right?
Losing your virginity doesn't necessarily solve all of your problems. It kind of takes away the excuse, and now it's up to you to figure out, well, why am I depressed? What do I actually want? What goals do I want to work on? What would make me happy? Because you think when you're a virgin, you think, okay, if I just lose my virginity, I will be happy. Like, this is the only reason that I'm unhappy. And I think we do that with a lot of goals. I've done the same thing in the past. I did it with threesomes, for instance. I thought, as soon as I have my first threesome, I will be like, I will have made it and I will be this super successful guy and I'll be super happy. And when I had my first threesome, it was amazing, but it just kind of took that excuse away. The same thing happened with the gym. I always thought, when I get lean and I have abs, I will have made it and I will be happy and everything will be perfect. And then you get there and you go, okay, I am happier, yes, just like I'm sure you were when you lost your virginity, but it doesn't make your life perfect. All of the feelings that you have, like if you're depressed or whatever, that doesn't just go away immediately.
Yes, that's the thing. And one more thing I meant was that you are depressed and in result, you search for the reasons to be depressed. Like, it's not the other way. Like, you are virgin and that's why you are depressed. Because you lose your virginity and you are still depressed. You just find some other reason to be depressed. And it's something you should not only work about being virgin, but about yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's been one of the biggest benefits for me, and I'm sure for you, when you start working on all this stuff, like when you start getting laid, when you start getting dates with girls, it brings out all of your insecurities and your flaws and all that kind of stuff, and you have to work on them. At first, that's scary as hell, but it's an incredibly good thing. It's like counseling for free.
Yes, and that's something you can use in all the other aspects of life. There was, I think it was Crisis Overcomer on the podcast, and he said that dating girls is a lot like having a business. I can 100% agree with that. It's all the same. The numbers game, stepping out of your comfort zone, and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all kind of the same. It's in the same vein. I think that's why all this stuff is so beneficial. Because when you start working on it, you have to become a better person.
Yes. And then not just having a business, even searching for a job. I realized it after I started getting laid a bit. And then I started applying for jobs. And I realized, you need to send a lot of CVs, especially if your CV is shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like being on Tinder and having a shit profile with shit photos and having one photo and it's a selfie with your mom. It's not a good profile, right?
Unless your mom is really hot. If your mom is really hot, maybe.
Yeah, of course. But still a selfie. But even with that, if you send enough CVs or message enough girls, you will get laid or get a job.
And that applies to everything. That applies to you starting your own business. That applies to content creation. Like if you are a writer or you're doing a podcast like I'm doing or a YouTuber or whatever, you have to do a lot of stuff and some of it will be good. The same when you're hitting on girls, you have to talk to a lot of girls and some of them will say yes. Or like you said, with the job, you have to give out your CV to a lot of places before some will say yes. I think this numbers game concept applies to almost every aspect of life. Everything is a numbers game. I think pretty much everything is a numbers game. So rather than focusing on being absolutely perfect and only taking one shot, aim to be pretty good or as good as you possibly can be, and then just take a lot of shots and some of them will hit the target.
Yes, because you will never be perfect.
Oh, absolutely not.
You can be close to perfect, but you will probably you won't be close to perfect. So you need to do the thing you want to do good to be good at that. Like with a podcast. The first podcast, they were cool, okay, but the more podcasts you do, the better you are at doing it.
Yeah, the first few podcasts were awful.
I think they weren't as awful, but they are getting better.
Yeah.
So going this way, this podcast will be the best because it's the newest one, right?
Hey, I don't think it works like that. I don't think every single thing you do is better than the previous one. I think sometimes you screw things up. Let's say this podcast will be the second best and then there's no pressure.
You know, I'm fine with the third best.
Third best. Okay. How about like the fifth best?
No, third best. No further down.
Okay.
I wanted to say that this podcast was really stepping out of my comfort zone for me because I was really fucking nervous about this.
So what were you nervous about? You nervous that you wouldn't do a good job or nervous that your English wouldn't be perfect or what?
One thing is that my English isn't perfect. It's not even close to perfect. But most of all, because I know I can speak in English, I have had job interviews in English and it wasn't that bad. I sometimes even talk with English people, but most of all, I'm scared as shit of remote talking, like phone calls and stuff. I hate it.
I hate it too. It's weird that I'm doing a podcast, but yeah. I don't like not being able to see you right now as we're talking.
Yes, because I can go face to face with someone and talk with him.
Yep.
I'm not the most talkative person too, but I can do it. Maybe I will be a little stressed at first, but then it's okay. We are talking. But on the phone, I get so much stress. Now it's not that bad because the audio quality is good and all. But on the phone, usually the audio quality is shit. I can't hear a single word and I need to guess what the other person is talking to me. And I hate that.
And then it would be like 20 times harder in English as well.
Yes. And one of the first dates I got on Tinder, I was really inexperienced and I was just starting on Tinder. And I read the tutorial on a good looking loser for the online dating. Even then, like 2 years ago, it was a little outdated, but it said to get the girl's number and call her.
Yeah.
I remember that even getting the number was so fucking stressing for me. I would like sit with the phone in my hand and shake just thinking about asking the girl for a number. Like it's just stupid thinking about it now, right? Now I just enter Tinder and send 30 messages to a girl asking to meet and even saying what I'm looking for. But then it was a big step for me. And I remember one girl, I asked her for a number. 3 days later, I called her because I got her my braveness. Is it the word? Braveness?
Yeah, braveness, courage.
Courage, all right. I got her my courage through these 2 days and called her. She didn't answer. And I was like, okay, she's not interested. I'm deleting her number. And she probably was just busy or something. Maybe her phone was off.
You took 3 days to call her. She probably just got sick of waiting.
Yes, it's the possibility too, but I could just call her half an hour later and see if she's interested. Because even if it wasn't 3 days, if it was like immediately, she could just not see the call. Like it happens.
Yeah.
But then later, I got another girl's number and I called her. And it was one of the most awkward phone calls in my life. I started doing some small talk. I was so stressed and I think she was stressed too. But then I invited her to a date and she was like, okay. And you know, we met, we made out, then we met for another date. If it wasn't for that, I didn't have a place to get laid with her. I could probably get laid with her. The point I'm going to is go out of your comfort zone. Even if it's awkward, it can result in good things. Also, the experience you gain is priceless.
Yeah, every time I've stepped out of my comfort zone, it's been amazing. I did a podcast on this. I have a philosophy called run towards fear. The same thing you're talking about, step out of your comfort zone. Every time I'm scared of something or every time I'm nervous about something, I tell myself, okay, that means I have to do it. And almost every single time I've ever done that, it's worked out like amazingly well, especially when it comes to girls. And On that note, I want to ask you a question. We'll go back to the story that we were telling before about your journey, how you saw a prostitute, you lost your virginity. At some point on the Good Looking Loser forums, a couple of guys called you a lost cause. They said, like, you weren't making progress. You were never going to be successful. You are a lost cause. And you took that. And a lot of people would get very upset over that, or they would just quit, or they would leave and not come back. You took that and you changed your username, because your username used to be Senga, and you changed it to Lost Cause as a fuck you to them. And then you said, I'm going to prove you wrong. Like, I'll show you a lost cause. And then you went on to have like all these dates and all this sex. I want to ask you, because this is something my girlfriend also said that I have to ask you, what the hell was going through your head at that point when they said like you're a lost cause? Were you angry? Did you know that you were going to make it and that they were wrong? Or did you believe what they were saying? Did you think like, I am a lost cause? Like, how were you feeling at that point in time?
So on one hand, it wasn't nice to hear, right? No one likes hearing bad things from others. But on the other hand, I knew I was kind of a lost cause, because if I wasn't a lost cause, I wouldn't end up on Good Looking Loser, right? I ended there because there was something wrong with my life and I was looking for ways to fix it. And the Good Looking Loser gave me an opportunity to fix it. When that one guy in particular called me a lost cause, it's not like I decided, okay, now I need to go out, prove him wrong. It was more like I was going to fix my life anyway. So again, no praise for me, but I was just fixing my life because my life sucked.
I want to talk about that, because I had the same, I always felt exactly the same way that you're talking about now. I always felt like once I found Good Looking Loser and other self-improvement websites like that, I felt like no matter what happens, I'm going to fix my life. Even if it takes me 50 years, it's going to happen. There is no way I don't fix it. Like, it's guaranteed. It's going to happen. It is inevitable. It sounds like you had that same concept. And certain things helped you. Like, I'm sure what I said helped you. I'm sure what these people calling you a lost cause, I'm sure that helped you. Like, these things speed up your progress. Did you always feel like no matter what, it was guaranteed, like it was inevitable that you would fix your life? And then my second question is, was there an alternative? And so what I mean by that is, in my case, I was like, I either will fix my life or I'll die trying. I won't quit until the day I'm dead. So there is no other option. Like, I can go my whole life working on this. I'm fine with that. Like, there is no other option. Did you have another option? Like, was quitting ever an option for you? Or was it guaranteed that you would always eventually fix your life?
It depends on which point of my journey we are talking about. Because at the point I got to a Good Looking Loser, I was lost in life. I was a virgin. I was depressed. I have had zero social skills. I thought I can't talk with people. When there was a party, I was usually sitting somewhere in a corner and was afraid to say a word. And I was really close in myself. Then now I got to a point when I get out to a date with a girl and I just say to her I'm shy as a joke. And they always respond the same. They say, shy? You? And they do a surprise Pikachu face, you know? And when I'm talking with people, I always say I'm an introvert. I don't really like being with people. I don't like talking. I'm 100% happy by myself. Not really, because I like dating girls and getting light. It's something I need other people for. But there was a COVID thing and it was like 3-4 months of sitting mostly alone. And it wasn't a big problem for me, or at least not as big as for the others. But coming back to the topic, I say to the people I'm introvert and I don't need other people. And they are like, introvert? You? Really?
That really surprises me. I never would have guessed that you would say you're an introvert, because you seem like a very talkative, extroverted person. And you've been on so many dates with girls at this point. I've lost count. I think you've been on like 60 different girls.
More. Yes, more dates. Yeah. And just counting the individual dates. But yeah, at some point, At some point, I wanted to go to 100 dates, then stop counting, but I gave up somewhere on the way there. 70 dates?
Yeah.
Then I said, fuck it. Why would I care how many dates I was on? How does it matter? It doesn't. Maybe at first, when every date is something important for you, but then it's just one date after the another, and the dates are mostly the same.
Yeah.
You sit down with a girl, you talk some shit, you place a hand on her knee, you kiss her, she either goes with it or says no, and then you talk some more, then you repeat, and it goes on.
Yeah, it seems so scary at the start when you haven't been on many dates.
Dates are really boring.
But not even boring in a bad way. I would say less scary than you think they will be. Like, at the start, I was very terrified to go on dates with girls because I was like, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? How do I entertain her? How do I keep her interested? When you go on a bunch of dates and you get experience with this stuff, they do become kind of boring. And we don't say boring in a bad way. It's like tying your shoelaces. They become so normal that you don't have to think about it. You're just with a girl, you talk, you make a move, you invite her back to your place, you kiss her, you have sex with her. You don't have to be amazing at this stuff. You don't have to impress her. You figure it out over time.
Yes, it's becoming a routine.
Hey, I have a question for you. I have a question. Because I don't speak another language. Okay, I speak a tiny bit of Malay, but let's just say I don't speak another language. When you have to speak in English, is it frustrating in your head because you know exactly what you want to say in your native language, but it's like you have to run a filter, like you have to translate it in your head before you get to say it? And then I'm guessing if you're not confident in English, you then also have to check to make sure what you're about to say is correct. Does it feel like that? Does it feel like every time you're about to say something to me or to anyone in English, you have to like double or triple check what you're about to say before you say it to make sure it's correct? Is it frustrating?
You know, when I'm writing in English, it's like sometimes I check for words because I want to be sure it's correct.
Yep.
And most of the time, the way I think the words are, they are correct. But sometimes I find some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking, I can't do that. Sometimes you can see I'm looking for a word, right?
Yeah.
It's because of that. But sometimes it works the other way. Like I'm talking in Polish and there's a word. I know this word from English, but I just can't find the Polish word for that thing. And it's fucking annoying. I sometimes just tell the word in English and look at the other people and see how they don't understand the word. In Poland, you know, English is obligatory language in Poland.
Yep.
Like we learn that at school, but most of the people have a really hard time understanding it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of good at English, but mostly written because I spent a lot of my youth in the internet. And there was a lot of opportunities to write with English people, to talk with English people. When I'm reading some articles in internet, it's almost always English. When I'm watching YouTube, it's English.
And then all of pop culture, like Hollywood culture, American culture, all of that's obviously in English, like TV shows and movies and stuff like that. I know a lot of people learn English from movies and TV shows because there's so much of it out there, like on YouTube and on the internet and stuff like that for free.
Yes, because there's nothing wrong with the Polish culture. It's not that big compared to the English culture.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's not that many Polskis.
Because there's a lot of more people speaking English, yeah, or even living in English-speaking countries, and even more people speaking English but living in non-English-speaking countries because it's the universal language.
Okay, let's talk about Poland for a second. Why the hell are your women so goddamn amazing? What the hell is going on there? Why are Polish women so beautiful?
What can I say? It's the Slavic blood.
Perfect. Like your girls are as close to perfect as you, like Russians are pretty amazing as well. Just as close to perfect as possible. I dated this Polish girl called Małgorzata. I'm probably saying that horribly wrong, but I dated her for a while and like, holy fucking Christ, dude.
It's Małgorzata.
There you go. Yeah, she taught me to say it and I still get it wrong. Holy crap. She was like the most attractive, like just gorgeous woman. She had this smile, which was like perfect. She was so feminine and like kind and sweet and caring and like, ugh, everything that you would want in a woman. God damn it. I love Polish women.
You see, you should come to Poland someday.
I will, as soon as I'm allowed to.
Because, you know, there's a lot of Polish women in Poland.
I would guess there would be a lot of Polish women in Poland. I will say the one of the benefits of living, because I live in Australia, obviously, one of the benefits of living in Australia or the UK or America is the girls are very sexually open-minded. It is so easy to have sex with girls. It's not even hard. I know that it's not impossible in Poland, but you do have to put in a little more work, right? You're not just having sex with girls within 1 minute of meeting them like you do on Tinder in Australia.
You know, the Poland has a really strong religious roots. It was a strong Catholic country. And even though most of the young people don't really believe in God or in anything in particular, there's still a cultural thing. And there's that thing where people think having sex is bad or it's wrong in some way. Or that girl having sex is somehow worse than the one that isn't.
Yeah.
And in result, girls are afraid to have sex.
Yeah.
And it's fucking stupid and it annoys the shit out of me. Because the men are breaking the dating market themselves.
I mean, again, I think that's one of the benefits of living in a Western culture. Everybody thinks that sex is great. And so girls just want to have sex. And everyone thinks that sex is amazing. Like it doesn't take that much effort. They kind of think it's a good thing. I'm remembering this girl that I dated, the Polish girl, Małgorzata.
Małgorzata.
Yeah, I'm just going to get you to say it every time because I can't say it. I loved her name. I just could not say it. It's like such a beautiful name. Anyway, so we were in the bedroom. We were about to have sex. This was on the third date because I tried on the second date. And she just said, like, it's too soon. On the third date, we're in bed. We'd hung out for, like, three dates at that point. We'd spent probably, like, 10 hours together. We both liked each other. And she kept saying to me, it's too soon. We would get really close to sex, and she'd say, wait, it's too soon. It's too soon. It's too soon. And so we got to a point where I stopped, and I said, like, do you want to have sex? And she said, like, we shouldn't. We're not allowed to. And I was like, what do you mean we're not allowed to? Like, I like you. You like me. I'm not just going to have a one-night stand with you. Do you want to have sex? And she kept having this notion of exactly what you're saying. She kept saying it's wrong or like it's bad. And she literally said like, we're not supposed to. And then we got to a point where she got so turned on that she turned to me and she said, is it okay? And I said, yes, it's okay. And as soon as like I said that to her, she just got so, like she went crazy. She just absolutely like let go. She was passionate. She was in the moment. She could enjoy it. So is that kind of a Polish notion of, you know, it's not okay to have sex. It's wrong. Like you're not supposed to do it. You're doing something wrong if you have sex like too quickly.
Yes, it's the Polish thing. I mean, it's not just in Poland. Like it's this part of the world where the culture is like that. And it happens a lot. You know, I was in bed with a lot of girls and basically every time, maybe except for one or two girls, every time it was like we get to bed, we do some stuff like foreplay. And when I want to get down to the business, it's just like, no, or not yet, or too soon.
Yeah.
And okay, so I back up a little and we continue foreplay. And then I try again and it's no, too soon. Sometimes it takes, I don't know, like an hour, sometimes 2 hours just to get her to the point where she's, when she stops having this, that stupid blockade that tells her that if I do it with this man, I'm a slut. She will judge me. Even though it's him who wants to do this. I mean, we both want to do this, but he's trying to have sex with me. But if I agree to that, she will think I'm bad in some way.
Yeah.
And that's a stupid way of thinking. But on the other hand, you know, if you are a girl, there's a lot of men that will really have sex with you. Then they will hate you for being easy.
Yeah, I don't blame the girls for thinking like that. Yeah, because you're right, it is. It is a lot of men that are doing that. I mean, it's girls too. Girls say that, the slut word to each other. Guys do too. Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes girls are worse for girls than men.
Yeah. So they're screwing it for us.
Yeah.
Assholes.
Yeah. Because most of time, especially we on a good looking loser or kill your inner loser, we try to be nice. I mean, we are obviously sleeping with girls because that's what we do. But I don't think anyone means anything bad for the girls. Especially you, you always try to leave the girls better than before.
Yeah, for sure.
Them.
Yeah. I think pretty much every single person on my forums wants girls to have a good time, wants their lives to be better after they meet us. Yeah, I don't think there's a single... I don't think we would let someone on our forums who was like that. I think they would probably not enjoy hanging out with us and we would kick them off pretty quickly. I want to jump to... Let's talk about photography, because you said specifically that you wanted to talk about photography on this podcast, and you had no interest in photography before you started taking Tinder photos. What happened? What made you fall in love with photography? Why do you love it so much? Because I love it too, so like I'm super excited to talk about this.
So when I was young, I always was the boy with a bad phone, like the shit camera.
Yes,
when I would take a photo, it was just a soup of pixels, and it was dark, and you couldn't see anything.
Yep, me too.
And I never had a good photo since I was over 20. When I started dating, it was a really harsh start because I needed to make a Tinder profile that would give me matches that girls would find attractive, but I had no photo. I didn't even have a selfie on my phone because I wouldn't take selfies because I was really self-conscious about my the way I look. And so I had to invest in a phone. I had a job at that time at a fast food chain, and I gained some money. I bought a good phone. I have this phone till now, and it has amazing camera, but at some point I just felt that it doesn't give me the opportunities that a DSLR would give me, because even a good camera on a phone won't give you a good background blur. Even because the new phones have a portrait mode, but it's not a hardware thing. It's the blur is added after the photo is made.
Yeah, it's not quite as good. It will never be as good.
Not that good, not that natural. So I bought a phone and started... No, I already had a phone. I bought a DSLR and started taking photos. At some point, I realized it wasn't that bad. And then I even liked taking photos. But then there's a story with a girl I met on Tinder, because someday I was swiping on Tinder. Okay, I matched a girl. It was a nice redhead girl. She was fucking hot. I just was looking at her photos, and she was like professionally made photos with a good camera by some good photographer. We wrote something to her, like, I don't know, hi something something. And we talked for a bit. And then she says to me that she has she's 13 years old or 14 years old. I'm like, fuck. The age of consent in Poland is 15, 16, something like that. And she wasn't even looking that young. I'm like, okay, abort, bye. Not talking to you. But it was at the point I got her Facebook and added her to my friends. So she was there. 3 months later, maybe, I was getting into the photography, and I felt like maybe doing some photo session with a girl that knows how to pose for photos. So I remembered I met that girl and asked her by Messenger if she's down to make a photo session with me. I didn't say that yet, but she was modeling for some modeling agency, and she was really good at that. And I was surprised because she was like, okay. And we met for a session. We made the photos. It was my first session when I was making photos of someone who was specifically posing for me. The photos were really good, in my opinion. I mean, they weren't as good as the photos I make now, but it started like this. So if not for Tinder, I wouldn't do a portrait photography of other people. I wouldn't do photography of myself, because the reason I got a DSLR in the first place was to get a good Tinder profile.
It's funny how that's how it started. Hey, I want to quickly comment and say I've managed other people's Tinder profiles for them. It's a service I offer on my website. And one of the guys was in Poland. He wasn't Polish, but he traveled to Poland. And one thing I noticed is that almost every girl in Poland has these really professional looking photos, taken with the DSLR. They're sitting in a field of flowers or, in the forest or something. The quality of photos, of girls' photos in Poland, is so much better than it is in a Western country. Like here, most girls just have selfies that they've taken of themselves in the bathroom. And in your country, it's like they look like they've put effort into all of their photos.
You know, I can't really say for sure because I haven't ever seen a Tinder profile in other country, like in Australia. I don't know how the girls look there.
They're so low quality.
From my point of view, still most of the girls have shit photos.
No, dude, trust me. I'll send you after the call a few different profiles of girls here and you're going to say like, oh, those look so shitty. The girls don't even look like they're trying. They're really not trying. And in your country, they look like they're putting in some effort.
Yeah, but maybe the thing is that in the Western country, the girls have, it's easier for them to have sex.
Yes, yes.
If it's that easy for them to get laid or find a relationship or whatever they are looking for, attention, they don't even have to try.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if I could, when I was starting my adventure on Tinder, if I could just shoot a selfie in my bathroom, put it on Tinder, do some stupid copy-paste description, and have matches with that, well, why should I get into photography and self-improvement and looking good and improving my style and going to the gym?
Yeah, for sure.
There just wouldn't be a drive to do that.
A lot of guys get really annoyed or frustrated or jealous that girls don't have to put in as much effort as we do. And I felt like that for a while, but there is a part of me now that's kind of happy. I don't know if happy is the right word, but I guess I'm kind of glad that girls don't have to put in the amount of effort that we do, because I wouldn't want them to suffer as well just because we have to suffer. There's a hell of a lot of effort we have to put into improving ourselves. And in a weird way, I'm happy that, well, at least like one gender doesn't have to put this much effort in, because this isn't always fun. This does take a lot of work and a lot of effort. And there are many like horrible days where you're crying yourself to sleep because you're frustrated and lonely and angry. It's nice that not everyone has to go through that, I guess.
You know, there was a time when I truly hated women. When I was a virgin or I was just starting, I just hated women. I hated that they have it so easy. I hated that no single woman would even look in my general direction. I just hated everything about women. And with time, with experience, with the times I got laid, it just went away.
Yeah, I think that really is the cure. Yeah, get laid and that kind of fixes your jealousy. It's hard to be jealous when you have abundance yourself.
It fixes your frustration because when you are 22, I was 21, 22. Doesn't matter. But when you are over 20 and you never had sex in your life and you are thinking, what's wrong with you? Maybe if you are good looking and getting a lot of attention from girls and you know you can get laid anytime you want, okay, you don't need to actually have sex. You can just be happy with a thought that you can do it wherever you want. It's the way girls have it. But when you are looking like shit and you know you can't get laid, even if you wanted, even if you gave it your 100%, you can't get laid right now. Maybe with a hooker, but it doesn't really fix your opinion about yourself, right? It's about getting some girl to like you. And not even about having sex. It's about having a girl like you enough to have sex with you.
Yeah, it's like a validation thing. It's like saying that you're worthwhile.
Yes, the validation is a word.
Yeah. With your photography, I see you're at the point now, I've checked your Instagram out, you're at the point where you're doing some pretty good photo shoots with like girls who look like models. Do you think photo shoots are something you're going to keep doing? And do you think you're going to get to a point where you start, because I know you're charging a little bit of money right now, but do you think that it's something that you will turn into, you know, like a side business or a full-time business? Do you think it's something that you will keep doing and make money from eventually?
You know, I was thinking about it recently because 2 weeks ago, I got a job and it's an IT job. It's still an internship, but it has opportunities to be really well-paid job. And something I will like to do because I'm into IT stuff. So I thought about, okay, I wanted to have photography as my source of income. Not sure if I wanted to have it as my main source of income or as my side source of income. But now that I have a stable future, an IT job is stable. There will always be a need for the programmers. I will only earn more from now on, because right now it's not that big money, but it will get big eventually. And now I'm wondering, so if my income is stable, do I want to continue the photography as a job, or do I want to keep it just as a hobby? Because I'm quite sure that I want to continue it just for fun, because I like doing photos with people.
Yeah, but remember, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can have it as a hobby, but then charge a little bit of money. So you're also getting some money from it. Like, it's not like it has to be a hobby or a business.
Yes, it's the way it was till now, because most of my photo sessions, the ones on my photography Instagram, weren't paid jobs. Like, there's, I think, two or three sessions that I actually got paid for, but all the other sessions, they were free for me. They were free for the models, and it was just for fun or to improve our portfolios or just to gain experience or just for fun with my friend. So it's not like I was earning a lot of money through my photos, even though it won't be really decent, but I think my photos are worth paying for, but I know my marketing skills are not good enough to find the clients, especially in 2020 with the COVID thing.
Okay, here's my prediction. I predict at some point you will start charging more money for it. I predict that you're going to make it a business, even if that's in 5 years, because your photography is definitely good enough. You definitely have a passion for it. You've improved really, really quickly at it. I'm making the prediction right now that you will make it into a full-time business, even if that's in 5 years' time. But here's my other question to you. Do you think that you'll eventually start doing nude photography, like the BDSM artwork that I do? Do you think that that's something that would interest you, taking like nude photos of girls?
Yes, 100%.
Nice.
And the only thing about this is I feel qualified for that, but I don't feel like my DSLR is good enough. Because to do a nude photography, it's usually at the studio, right? Like, it's not like you are running through the city naked. You get to the studio, you get the light on the model, and you shoot. With my camera, it wouldn't look good.
Yeah, but you can just do what I did. Do it in your bedroom like I do mine. I don't do mine in a studio.
The difference is when I get a model or just a girl that wants to be a model, it's like a professional thing. And I wouldn't feel good inviting her over to my place for a photo shoot. It would be different with a girl I was knowing personally and I was hanging out with anyway. Then it's not a problem, but I have yet to find a girl to do such a photos, but I will probably do some photos like this soon, because I have some ideas.
Fair enough.
I have some ideas, and the girl I'm meeting with right now, she may be into that. No spoilers, but...
Once you've done a few, what I found is the first few were really hard, because you're basically telling a girl that you want to do something with her that you haven't really done before. Like, you haven't done a lot of nude photography, so you're basically saying, hey, you're going to be the first girl. Once you've done it with a couple of girls, you can show the other girls those previous photos and you can say like, look, here's some photos I've done before. I know what I'm doing. I'm professional. You're going to like the photos. It gets easier the more you do this. The first like one or two girls that you shoot photos with are very hard. Like you're in the position right now where the hardest thing is you haven't had any previous experience with this. So you can't show any girls the photos to see how good they look.
Yes. It's about feeling comfortable.
Yes.
It was even with my first photo session with a girl I was talking about earlier. It's that you don't know what you can do. And when you do the session, you know what you are capable of. You know what the results will look like and you don't stress over it. You know what to expect. Oh,
that's one of the most terrifying things of starting photography is that you have no idea if the photos are going to turn out good. Once you've done it enough times, you know absolutely that you're going to be able to take good photos and you can almost promise the person, the photos will look good. Don't worry, I've done this a million times before.
Yes, you can feel like you are wasting the girl's time.
Yes, yes, yes. So if someone wants to start photography, what advice would you give them? So my advice is just give yourself permission to suck, pick up the camera, start taking some photos. They're probably going to be bad at the start and that's fine. What's your advice to a newbie who has never really taken photos, either for Tinder or just like photos of girls or other people?
Just get the DSLR. It's the first step. you need to do this, do it now. And when you get the DSLR, go do some photos. Especially at the beginning, you need to take a shit ton of photos.
Yeah.
Like 3,000 photos, they will be still shit. You will look at them and hate them, because the thing is, with a phone camera, you can do a photo and it will be decent. It will be okay. You take a professional camera to your hands, you do a photo and it looks like shit.
Yeah.
You hate the result and you want to drop the camera. The thing is, the photo will look shit, but if you know what you are doing, the photo will be better than the photo will ever be.
Yeah, it's like your first 100 photos that you take with the DSLR camera are so bad because you don't understand all the camera settings. You don't know how to set the aperture or the shutter speed or ISO or any of that stuff. So, and the camera doesn't, DSLR cameras don't usually do all the work for you, whereas a phone camera does all the setting. All you do is you push a button with your phone camera and it figures out all the settings. A DSLR camera, you have to set those settings yourself. So your first 100 photos will be awful, but once you get good at it, exactly like what you just said, the photos look a million times better than any smartphone.
More than 100, more like a few thousand.
1 billion.
Because at first you should do a lot of photos. When you make a photo or something, don't do one photo and think it will be okay. Take 10 photos from the same perspective, then go around the object, do another 10 photos from the other side, then move a little to the left, do some photos, move again, do more photos, then move the object, do photos, repeat, and you end up with 100 photos. 99 of these photos will be bad, and one photo will be good. Even if you don't know what you are doing, one will be good.
Every time I do a photo shoot with a client, I will tell them, at the very start, before I take a single photo, I will say, by the way, I'm going to take probably 1,000 photos today. I'm going to just keep clicking the button. The way that we get good photos is I just take 500 photos of you from different angles. I just keep clicking the button and some of them will accidentally look amazing. And that really is a secret. I'm obviously a good photographer, but I won't say that I'm some like amazing photographer. Like the only reason I have good photos is because every time I go out, I will take 1,000 photos and some of them are good. I know you do the same thing. Everybody who does good photography just takes a lot of photos. If you watch like professional photographers, as in people who charge like $10,000 for a session, they will take thousands of photos. They will try different angles, like you said. They will try different lighting. They will try different poses. They will just keep clicking that button, and some of those photos come out amazing. Most of them suck. 99.9% of the photos are awful, like unusably bad, and then one or two will be amazing. So don't think that you have to be an amazing photographer to get good Tinder photos or good photos of someone else. You just need to take 1,000 photos every time you go outside. Take a lot of photos and some of them will be good.
Yes, no one does one photo and it's good.
That's not even possible.
Maybe when you go to a place when you can do a photo for your ID, but even then, not because they are good, it's because they have everything set up in advance.
Yes.
Because they did, I don't know, 100 photos there and they choose the settings that are good. Because at those places, the light is always the same, the scenery is always the same, the model is always standing the same. They set everything up and they leave it like this. When you are going out to the world, everything changes. You need to adapt for that. And you will never adapt at the first photo you take.
Yeah, for sure.
You take one photo and adjust everything with every photo.
Yeah, for sure.
One more advice I will give is get a good DSLR. Because when you start with a bad camera, you will feel bad about what you're doing. You will feel you are bad at photography. When you make 100 photos and 12 of them are not even in focus, not because you are doing something wrong, but just because camera is shit, you will feel bad. You will probably just give up. It's the thing I have with my camera because it's not a high-end camera. It sucks at focusing things. I can't even go with ISO over 200 because I can instantly see the grain. It's like someone took a rice and threw it at my photos. It's really bad.
One of the things that I regret was that I took too long to upgrade my camera. I had an old DSLR, an old Nikon D7000, and I had that for probably 8 years. And it's only recently, as in a year ago, that I upgraded to the Canon EOS R, which is the camera that I recommend other guys get because it's pretty cheap. It does a really good job.
It's the camera I'm going to take.
Yeah, mate, you are going to love it. As soon as I bought it, I was so happy.
I'm collecting cash to get this camera.
The first thing you will notice is that it automatically focuses for you on people's eyes. So it's like perfect focus. And it does it without you putting in any effort whatsoever. So you can just take perfect photos of people. You don't have to worry about focus anymore. And if they're walking towards you, like they're walking towards the camera, it keeps tracking their eyes. So they're perfectly in focus the entire time. You can just keep taking a ton of photos. It's magic, dude. It really is magic.
Yes, it will be amazing when I get this one.
Yeah, it will be. If people want to find your photography, like your Instagram, where can they find that?
If someone wants to see my photos, they should hit me up on your forums, on private messages. I will send them the links. Thank you for inviting me for the podcast.
No, thank you for coming on, dude.
Yeah, it was a real step out of my comfort zone because I was really stressed out with that. I was thinking like every day for the time I was waiting for the podcast, will I look good on this podcast? Will I make a fool out of myself? Will they even understand me? Or will I just be there sitting quiet and nodding to you, which you won't be able to see because it's just...
Which I can't see, yep.
Maybe I would be just really loudly nodding, but but I think it wasn't that bad.
No, you did a really good job, dude. Like a really good job.
I gave it my all. I hope it's inspiring for the other people to do the things they are afraid of.
Hell yeah. If you're scared like a little bitch, just do it. If Lost Cause can do it, you can do it too. Hey guys, Andy here. I'm recording this after the end of that podcast. I want to leave you with a takeaway. He was really, really, really nervous to come on. He sent me probably 5 messages before in the lead up to the episode. He told me he was terrified that his English wasn't going to be good enough, that he wasn't going to be entertaining enough, all that sort of stuff. Obviously, I told him, you don't need to be perfect. Don't worry about that. I'll cover most of the conversation. I'll carry the conversation, all that sort of stuff. The point is he was terrified to come on and he did it anyway, as he said, because he was scared. I want you to apply that to your own life. When you're terrified of something, do what I've talked about in the past and run towards the fear. If you're nervous to talk to a girl, just fucking do it. If you are nervous to start a business, just bloody well start the business. If you're nervous to start any sort of endeavor, run towards the fear. Don't let it be an excuse and use Lost Cause here as motivation and as an example to show you that you don't need to be perfect. He was incredibly nervous and he got it done anyway. You can do exactly the same thing in your own life if you run towards all of your fears and don't shy away from them. He and I also talked about the importance of buying a DSLR camera, particularly if you're going to be improving your Tinder photos and why a DSLR camera is a million times better than just a normal smartphone. The camera that I recommend is the Canon EOS RP. Pretty affordable. Does all the stuff that you need it to do, perfect focus on your eyes and all the stuff that we talked about. I have a link in the show notes to where you can buy that. You can buy that through my website. So that will be at theinnerwinnershow.com/58. And if you buy through my link, I get a couple of bucks commission, which really helps me out, helps me pay the rent, pay the bills. So I really appreciate that.
Hello, men with penises and women with penises. Is the thing you say, right?
Yes.
You can glue it together in post-production.
I'm gonna like cut some of these and I'm gonna cut little bits and pieces and put all this together, yeah?
Okay, I trust in you.
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.